Okay, we're beginning here about 8 lines from the bottom of Yudzayin Amud Bet. The Gemara is discussing the Machloket Amoreim we have with regards to the Mishnah as to what is the scenario in which you bring an Asham Talui. We saw Rav Asi's position that even a single piece that has a Safek associated with it, you would bring an Asham Talui. Whereas Chir Barav's position was that Chaticha has to be one Ab Shtei Chatichot. One of them has to be a Visur, one of them that is not Isur. And the safek arises from eating one of those two items. So that was the view of Chir Barav. And the Gemara assigned their machloket to a machloket about whether it's Eim LeMikra or Eim LeMisoret. That's based on the psukim that are found by the Asham Talui, which is Vim Nefesh Ki Techata, Vasa Achat Mikom Mitzvot, Hashem Ashalot Asena, V'lo Yada V'Hashem V'Nasa Abono. The word mitzvot over there is spelled with one vav, so it's pronounced mitzvot, but if you didn't have any nikudot, you would read it as mitzvat. And so the machloket is there aim la misoret? The misoret that tells us to write it with only one vav, which makes it sound like mitzvat, means even one. Or is it mikol mitzvot, which means multiples or out of two. And so that's the machloket between them, is whether there's aim la mikra, aim la misoret. After that, we brought down Rabba's approach explaining Rab's position. And Rab's position, like Chir Barav, was the same, that you need one out of two. And again, we explained it because of Eim LeMikra, the pronunciation of the word is mitzvot, and therefore you need one out of two. So today we're going to continue, and we're going to have other reasons that are brought for why it is that Rab's position is that you need one out of two in order for you to be chayav and Asham Talui. So starting over here, we have Amar Rab Chir Amar Rab. It should be Amar, according to the Shittim Kubetz, it should be Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rab. We'll see why that makes sense. If he has two pieces in front of him, achat shel chelev, achat shel shuman, one of chelev, which is clearly asur, shuman, which is mutar, v'achal achat mehen, and he ate one of them, v'eni yodeh ez mehem achal, and he doesn't know which one of them he ate, chayav. In that case, he's chayav and Asham Talui. Chaticha achat, if you have only one piece, safek shel shuman, safek shel chelev, if it's that one piece that you have uncertainty about whether it was chelev or shuman, Ve'achlan, you ate it, patur. In that case, you are patur. Amar Rabbi Zeira, this is why the Shittim Kubetz changes the before to Amar Rabbi Zeira Marab, because now it's Amar Rabbi Zeira, my time at the Rab. He's explaining this position that he brought about Rab. What's the reasoning behind it? Kasavar shtei chatichot efshar levarer isuro. When you have two pieces, it's possible to check out, to know whether there was isur or not. Chaticha achat, yefshar levarer isuro. Then if there's only one piece, you can't determine whether it was isur or not. Rashi over here explains that to order to bring an Asham Talui, it is there to protect you from the isurim until you get information that will allow you to bring a chatat, or not bring a chatat, depending on what the information is that you get. So from Rashi, it sounds like that the key element over here in terms of Nasham is your ability to bring a chatat later on. Only if you can bring a chatat will you be chayav for bringing an Asham Talui. And Rashi says that that's determined by how many pieces there are over here, because if you have two pieces, there's a piece that remains that you can have a baki. You can have some expert come along and tell you the remaining piece was either shuman or the remaining piece was chelev. Whatever the remaining piece is, then whatever you ate is the opposite, because we know there were two pieces over here. If you're dealing with one piece and you already consumed it, there's no way that anybody after the fact can come and clarify the situation. Since you can't clarify the situation after the fact, you're never going to bring a chatat, because you're never going to have enough information to bring a chatat. And therefore also, beforehand, you're not going to bring an Asham Talui, because it's something that's efshar levarer, something that will never be clarified, something that the safek will never be taken away from. So now this is Rashi l'shitato. If you remember earlier on Yud Zayin, both Rashi and the Baal Yad Tosafot for different reasons say that if you knew about the safek beforehand and ate it, you don't bring a korban. So Rashi says it at the top of the Amud here. Aval in b'shat achila italo safek. If there's a safek at the time you eat it, ve'hizid v'achla, and you intentionally ate it, despite the fact that you knew it was a safek, you ate it anyway, then Rashi says you don't bring a korban because mezid hu upator. Rashi classifies that as being an intentional eating, that it's amazing, and you don't have a right to bring an Asham Talui. Even sounds like you wouldn't bring a chatat if the information was clarified later on, because you knew, you were aware of the safek beforehand. So for Rashi, the only time that you bring an Hashem Talui is that the safek arises after you ate it. So since that's the case, Efshar Lebarer here, according to Rashi, is since you only knew about the safek afterwards, you need information afterwards in order to clarify the safek. If you had one piece and the safek arises afterwards, then there's never going to be a way to clarify the situation. On the other hand, if there are two pieces, then you can clarify the safek even after the fact. The Baal Yad Tosafot on the previous Amud, on the Mishnah, say that the same thing for a different reason, which is, Im yodeya shu safek chilev, hechi maiti korban, halo shav mi diato. Tosafot says that part of the prerequisite for bringing a korban chatat is, you did something wrong, and then when you did something wrong, you now find out information that makes you change your mind about what you did. So, for instance, if you made a mistake and you forgot about some halacha, when you're reminded of the halacha, that would have changed your behavior beforehand. Had you known this information earlier, you would have acted differently. That's not true in this case. If you have the safek beforehand and you eat it, then when we tell you the information, it's a safek. You say, well, I knew that already, and I ate it anyway. So the information doesn't give you anything new, and therefore, Tosafot applies that which is true by chatat to the asham as well. And he says the asham talui can't be brought in that case. So for both of the Rashi and the Tosafot, it's only if the safek arises after the fact do you bring a korban. And therefore, efshar levarer becomes essential to the possibility of bringing a chatat because you didn't have any of this information beforehand. None of this existed beforehand. And all it comes to light after you've already eaten it. Well, if you ate it and there's nothing left, then there's nothing that you can clarify. If you ate it and there's something left, then you can clarify the situation. That's the view of Rashi with regards to this. The Rabbeinu Gershom says something very similar, but there is a little nuance to it, and it might affect what we just noted here. He says that, Hilkach, kodem shelo badkuhu, since before they didn't check it, chayavin hasham talui, ve'achar shebadkuhu, and after they check it, v'nodulo, tevadai chelevu, chayav chatat, afterwards, then when you find out for certain that it was a chatat, so you see from the Rabbeinu Gershom that the reason for the Hashem Talui is because kodem shelo badkuhu, because you didn't check yet. Which means that, according to him, it's the fact that there was a safek that generates the Hashem Talui, because you didn't check it yet. When you do check it, then you're chayav chatat. So the reason for the Hashem Talui is shelo badkuhu, you didn't check it. What's not clear from the Rabbeinu Gershom is, when didn't you check it? So is it that you didn't check it and the safek existed even before you ate it and you didn't check it? That's why you bring in Hashem Talui. And that would mean that the Rabbeinu Gershom then he believes differently than Rashi and the Baal Yad Tosafot, that even if the safek exists before you eat it, you would still bring in Hashem Talui because shalom but cool, you didn't check. You check afterwards, then you can bring it. Or is he saying this after the fact? After you ate it already, where immediately afterwards, maybe there was a way to check or maybe there was information that could have been gotten and you didn't check it out, that's when you bring an Hashem Talui. And then when you check it out later and you're able to clarify the information, that's when you bring a chatat. So he says, or he is tole, in your lack of checking, the lack of looking into the safek is what generates the korban. And so the question is, when did that happen, that lack of checking? It happened before you ate it or after you ate it? And then that might make the Rabbeinu Gershom slightly differentiated from Rashi over here. But Rashi says it all has to do with after the fact. Can you bring a chatat? After the fact, you can bring a chatat. Therefore, you bring an asham. Or, according to the Rabbeinu Gershom, is it the fact that you didn't check? That's what generates the asham talui, irrespective of the chatat. If you do check, then there is a chatat. But if you don't check, then it's an asham. And when didn't you check? Didn't you check before you ate it? Then maybe he's arguing on Rashi and Tosafot. Or if he means he didn't check it after you ate it, then again, it would be that similar to Rashi's explanation over here. That's the reasoning that Rabbi Zeira gives, and then the Gemara says, Ma'ika ben taima de Rabo, the taima de Rabbi Zeira. Rabo's reasoning was because of aim lemikra, mikom mitzvot, and Rabbi Zeira's reasoning is, she'efshar levarer isuro. So now, what's the nafkamina between those two reasonings? Ika ben ayu kezayit u'mechza. The nafkamina between them is when you only have one kezayit, and then a half kezayit is the second piece. The Rabo, leka mitzvot. According to Rabba, there are no mitzvot over here. There isn't two pieces. Now, Rashi says something which it's not clear where he got it from. Rashi says, Leka bet zeitim. Upakot mi kezayit kamandaleta. Anything less than a kazayit doesn't exist. So therefore, when you have one kazayit and then a half kazayit piece next to it, that half kazayit piece is as if there's no second piece over there, and it's as if it doesn't exist, and therefore you only have one piece. Well, the Rabbi Zeira, Efshar the Vareri Suro. According to Rabbi Zeira, you can still check it out, because the half kazayit is either Shuman or Chelev, and then it'll determine what the other item was. That's the view that Rashi brings, and the similar view was brought within the Rabbeinu Gershom, but then he brings a different Lashon, which helps to solve some of this problem here, which is that it's somewhat difficult to understand why it is that you have to have two Zeitim in order for it to be classified as two pieces. So the Lishna Achrina that he brings is similar to Rashi's view over here, and he just fleshes it out a little bit, which is that mitzvot mashma bet hatichot shleimot, that they have to be similar size, they have to be both of them whole, and that you don't have over here. But before that, he brings a reasoning that they just the opposite of this, which is the Rabbi Zeira Efshar the Varer Isuro, just the opposite way around, that a kazayit umechza is Efshar the Varer. He says, oto chatzi kazayit shenishter lo minkar o chelev o shuman, the davar mawatu. Since that piece that's left over is so small, it's very hard to determine whether it was chelev or shuman. Ilkach patur. So he reads it the other way, that the chatzi kazayit is something that's too small for an expert to come along and tell you what it is, or to be able to figure out after the fact what it is. If you have a piece that's a kazayit, then already you can determine. When you do it with small, tiny pieces, it's very hard by eyesight, by expertise, to tell whether it's shuman and chelev. We're not talking about looking through a microscope. We're talking about a person looking at it and determining, not without tasting it, what it is by its simple form, shape. And the smaller it is, the harder it's going to be to determine. Rabbeinu Gershom gives you that option in the opposite Girsa that solves some of this problem. Whereas the Rashash, in defense of Rashi's view over here, says that the Kazayit Umechza was actually one piece. It wasn't two pieces. It was one piece that was a Kazayit Umechza, and you ate a Kazayit of it. So according to Rabbah, you don't have two pieces here, because it was all one piece to start with. Even though you left something over, there was only one piece here. On the other hand, for Rabbi Zeira, at the end, there's a half kazayit left over, which you can check out and you can look at. So that's how he defends Rashi's view here. Although, again, just be aware that there is this alternative view in the Rabbeinu Gershom that reverses the girsa between Rabba and Rabbi Zeira in the latter part here. So then, Eitvei Rabbi Yirmiyahu the Rabbi Zeira. So now, Rabbi Yirmiyahu asks of Rabbi Zeira all the questions that we asked of Rabba's position in yesterday's daf, which is Rabbi Elazar. Changing all of these to Rabbi Elazar, we'll bump into a Tosafot later on that'll explain why we have to change all of these to Rabbi Elazar. But Rabbi Elazar Omer, Koi, where you have Safek Behema, Safek Chaya, there are numerous opinions in the Gemara and Chulin as to what the issue is. Is it a crossbreed? Is it an entity that they didn't know what to define it? Is it a Birya Bifnei Atzma? Whatever the reason is, a Koi is a Safek Behema, Safek Chaya. Chayavim Al Chilbo Hashem Talui. If you eat the Chaleb of a Koi, then you have to bring an Hashem Talui. Safek Beima, where the Chelev is Asur. Safek Chaya, where the Chelev is Mutar. So because of that Safek, you bring an Hashem Talui. And over here, you don't have any two pieces to deal with. Eyafshar the Vareri Suro. There's no way you're ever going to know what the outcome is over here. Because a Koi inherently is a Safek. And so therefore, there's no Vareri Suro. Amalei, Rabbi Elazar, Savar, Lobein, and the Vareri Suro. Similar to what we said yesterday with regards to Rabba's position, Rabbi Elazar has an odd position over here, which is he doesn't believe that you need to be mevarer isuro. He says even one piece is enough, as long as there's a safek, that's sufficient grounds to bring a korban hasham talui. And in this case, you have the possibility of never bringing a chatat, which is the way Rashi explained what levarer isuro was. Here you'll never end up bringing a chatat, and yet you still bring a korban Hashem Talui. And so therefore, that is Rabbi Elazar's opinion. And you're right. That's a problem for me in terms of Rabbi Elazar. But I'm not speaking Rabbi Elazar's opinion. I'm speaking in the Chachamim's position. Eight of eight. Same question again that we asked yesterday. Safek ben tishad rishon or ben shiv'a l'acharon. It's a case where he performs Yibum with his brother's wife after his brother passed away without having children. 7 months after they're married, she has a baby. Question is, was this baby 9 months from his brother before he passed away? Or is it 7 months from his marrying of this Yivama? So then we say Yotzi. He has to divorce her because now it's a Safek, Ishadach. Because it could have been that it was a child of his brother. Or it could be that he did yibum fine, but now you have a safek, so we say divorcer. But vlad kasher. The vlad is kasher because we don't know, and because we don't know, we assume that it's not a mamzer. We don't make mamzerut unless we're certain. B'chayav hasham taloi. And over there he has to bring hasham taloi. There again, the woman is one safek. It's a safek whether this woman is yivama for him or an eshedach for him. That's one woman. There's no shtek techati chotov here. And again, this is a safek that will efshar the varer. There is no way you can ever know whether the baby belonged to the first brother who passed away or to the brother who performed the yibum. It's efshar the varer. And yet we're still saying that you're chayav and hasham toloi. The answer is hamani, Rabbi Elazarhi. The same Rabbi Elazar as Koi, that's the same Rabbi Elazar will be the author of this position with regards to Yivama. Eitave, nimtza al shela et yom, if they find it on hers immediately afterwards, tmeim v'chayavim v'kurban. In that case, they're both tmeim, and they have to bring a kurban. Nimtza al shela lachar zman, they find it on hers after time, tmeim misafek, then you have a safeger, upturim min kurban. And you don't bring a korban. The case here is a case in Nida. It's referencing to the Mishnah in Nida where you have an aid. An aid is a cloth that is used to wipe afterwards, to cleanse oneself afterwards. And so we skip the first line of the Mishnah, which is quoted previously in the Gemara, which is that Nimtzal Eid Shaloh, it's found on the man's cloth. If he wipes himself after Biah and he finds dam on it, then we have to assume that that is dam nida, because there's no way that there was dam on his aver. Elim Kane, he got it from the woman internally, which means that it was dam nida. If that's the case, then they are tzmeim vadai, and they have to bring a korban chatat. They boil a nida b'shogeg, so he brings a chatat for that, and they're tzmeim because she is tamei tumat nida. That's one case. The next case is where she finds it on her cloth. She was cleansing herself, cleaning herself afterwards, and she finds dam on her cloth. Here it's dependent on when she finds it. If she finds it immediately after they have biyah, and the Gemara Nida speaks about what that means, how immediate it needs to be, that's the word etiom. Etiom means immediately. If she finds it immediately, then it's no different than the man, which is you have to assume that the dam came from her, and therefore she was pares Nida while they were already having biyah, and so therefore they are both meim and chayav korban chatat. If there is a delay in her checking or her cleansing herself, and then they find dam, then there's a possibility that the dam only exited or only manifests itself after the biyah. So there you have a safek. Was she a nida when they had biyah? Was she not a nida when they had biyah? So in that case, there's tmeim misafek. The tmeim tumat nida, boil nida, is tameh like a nida herself. So it's a question if they both are tmeim nida, and that's a safek. It also says here they are turim in a korban. Vitani Allah. And we have a braita that says, v'chayavim v'asham taloi. Then you would have to read, p'turim min ha-karban means p'turim min ha-chatat. And the braita is telling you, there's still chayav and asham taloi because of the safek. And even though, as the Baal Tosafot point out over there, the Gemara Nida thinks that the braita is arguing on the Mishnah that says p'tur is p'tur min ha-asham taloi. The braita that says chayav is chayav asham taloi, there actually is a machloket between them. But the way our Gemara is reading it is that the braita is qualifying or modifying the Mishnah, and that means that the Mishnah, it says, patur mi korban, means patur mi korban chatat, and now the Braita comes to tell you, okay, you're patur mi chatat, but you still have to bring in Hashem taloi, you have a safek, boel nida here, bring in Hashem taloi. So that's a problem again. Here again, you have chaticha achat. There's no way to be vareri suro, something that you'll never be able to tell. The woman is like a chaticha achat, it's not a safek between two items, and therefore, the explanation over here has to be, hamani rabba lazarhi. Once again, we assign the authorship of that braita to Rabbi Elazar, who does not require levarer isuro. That's the same series of questions that we asked on Rabba. Here we asked them on Rabbi Zeira's explanation. And again, the answer that's given in all these cases is that you have this Tana, Rabbi Elazar, who has a view that you don't need to be levarer isuro in order to bring an Hashem Taloi. And therefore we assign all these cases where you have an Hashem Taloi without the possibility of Hashem levarer to Rabbi Elazar, whose opinion is valid as Rabbi Elazar's opinion, but Rabbi Zeira says, I'm not explaining that. The authorship of our Mishnah is not Rabbi Elazar. I'm explaining the Chachamim's position, who are differentiated from Rabbi Elazar, and believe that you need Shtei Chatichot, that you need two pieces, and you need Efshar, Levarer, Isuro. All right, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barbua, Amar Rav. So again, we're quoting the same memra of Rav that the Mishnah speak about Shtei Chatikot. But again, we're going to give another explanation for Rav's position, which is, you have two pieces in front of you, Shuman and Chelev. You ate one of them. Any of days, man, Achal, you don't know which one. Chayav. That case, you bring in Hashem Taloi. Chaticha Achat. Safek Shochelev, Safek Shuman, Vachala, Patur. The same member of Rav that we quoted now in the name of Rabba. We quoted it before in the name of Rabbi Zera. Now we're quoting in the name of Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Ravua. Amar Rav Nachman, my time in the Rav. Here's our third possible explanation of Rav's position over here. Kasavar Shtei Chatichot Ikva Isura. When you have two pieces, the Isur is Nikva. Chaticha Achat Lo Kava Isura. You have one piece, there's no Kaviat HaIsur. When you have two pieces, you know for certain that there's Isur here. One piece is Isur, one piece is not Isur. But there is certainty of Isur being there because one of the two is Chelev. When you have one piece, the one piece itself is Safek Shuman, Safek Chelev, we don't have Nikva Isur. We don't know that there's Isur here for certain. There's a Safek as whether there's any Isur. It's almost like the concept of Chazaka, meaning that we have a status quo which gives you an existing Isur. If there's existing Isur, then we can talk about an Hashem Taloi. That's the way Rav views it. If there's no Isur yet, then the Safek is a deep enough Safek that we don't bring an Hashem Taloi until we're certain there's Isur involved in this situation. That's Rav Nachman's explanation of this position. And the Balei HaTosafot before say that in all of these cases, you have to explain the entirety of the Mishnah based on these Shitot. You have the Shitot of Mitzvot, which means you have to have two, one out of two. Then we had the Efshar the Varer Isuro. So you have to explain it according to that. Now we're saying Ikva Isura. So you have to explain all the cases of the Mishnah according to Ikva Isura. So Tosafot does that by saying, even by Yom Chol and Yom Shabbat in the Mishnah, which is a Safek, you can still create a case of Quasi Shteit Chatichot and Efshar the Varer Isuro and Ikva Isura when the individual does the Malacha Ben Hashmashot. He does the Ben Hashmashot, that's a fake Yom, a fake Laila. It was at the end of Shabbat. So Ikva Isura. It was already Shabbat, and now you're in that time period where it's Ben Hashmashot. It's Ben Hashmashot, now Safek Yom, Chol, Safek Shabbat, Ikva Isura. Efshar the Varer Isuro, he says, is because you can look at how long it takes you to do such a Malacha, to see whether it crossed over into Shabbat, didn't cross over into Shabbat. So there's Efshar the Varer Isuro. The Tosafot says you have all of these manifestations in the case in the Mishnah. But that's very interesting because that means that Ben Hashmashot on Motzei Shabbat is different than Ben Hashmashot going into Shabbat. Because according to that, Ben Hashmashot going into Shabbat, you don't have Ikva Isura because it was a Yom Chol entering in. That means you never had the Kriyat HaYisur before you entered into Ben Hashmashot. So some point out, like the Agod Marsham, that this is supportive of the Magen Avraham's distinction that when the Gemara says that by certain Shvut to Shvut, when you have certain Dinei Durabonon or B'makom HaTzorech, that Ben Hashmashot, you're allowed to do them, the Magen Avraham says that's only true on Friday afternoon, Ben Hashmashot, you're allowed to do that. But on Motzei Shabbat, Ben Hashmashot, you're not allowed to do that. This Tosafot is somewhat supportive of that, because Tosafot says there's a big difference between Ben Hashmashot on Motzei Shabbat and Ben Hashmashot on Erev Shabbat. Ben Hashmashot on Erev Shabbat, there's no Ikva Isura. The Isura doesn't exist yet. On Motzei Shabbat, it's already Ikva Isura to Shabbat, and therefore we can't be Mekil in Ben Hashmashot. So being that, those Hakalot of Ben Hashmashot only apply on Erev Shabbat, don't apply on Motzei Shabbat. Interesting way to bring evidence to the fact that that Magen Avraham is correct from this idea that's laid out here in the Tosafot. Although, in the Tosefta, it does not sound like this distinction that Tosafot makes. And from the Rambam, he also does not differentiate between Ben Hashmashot of Erev Shabbat and Ben Hashmashot and Motzei Shabbat. What you have to do is you have to separate between something that's called Cheskat Isur versus Ikva Isura. Cheskat Isur is something where the Isur exists already, and that's what the Tosafot is speaking about. And he's conflating that with what we're speaking about here, which is Ikva Isura, which just means that one of the two tzadim, one of the two options over here, involves an Isur Vadai. And that you have both when it's Ben Hashmashot on Erev Shabbat and Ben Hashmashot on Motzei Shabbat. One of the two options is a Vadai Isur, even though there's no Cheskat Isur over here, nevertheless, is Ikva Isura. And that's how you could argue on that view of the Balei HaTosafot. The other thing the Tosafot says is, And this is a big chiddush, that one of the cases in the Mishnah was a case where you ate the piece, safek, yesh bashiur, ain bashiur. The safek, whether you had enough shiur in it or didn't have enough shiur in it. What Tosafot points out is, if you believe you need shtei chatichot, you still need shtei chatichot, plus the additional problem of, did you have a shiur of kazayit or not? Have a shiur of kazayit. If it's one piece, and it's for sure chaleb, and then you eat it, and it's a fake, whether it had a kazayit or not a kazayit in it, that doesn't qualify for shtei chatichot. So Tosafot makes a statement over here, which is a huge chiddush, which is that, vashmina tafilu sveik, sveika, maiti ashram taloi. That even in the case of a sveik, sveika, you're going to bring an ashram taloi. It's not only in the case of safek, even in the case of sveik, sveika, because if you say you need shtei chatichot, and the case in the Mishnah is shuman and chaleb, you ate one of them that could have been chaleb, but we don't even know when you ate the one that was chaleb whether it had a shiur or didn't have a shiur. So Tosafot sets up the case as being a sveik, sveika, and based on that he says that even in the face of a sveik, sveika, you would still have to bring an asham taloi. It's a huge kiddush in the Balei Tosafot. There are clearly those that disagree with that, and that only in cases of safek would you have the issue of asham taloi. Now again, it's easier to explain according to this view of Rav Nachman that Rav's position deals with ikva isura, because in the case there, it is ikva isura. You have chelv there for sure. You just don't know if you had a kazayit worth or not a kazayit worth. Or you could say maybe that's not ikva isura because you didn't have a kazayit worth of chelv. Maybe there's no isur when it's less than a kazayit. So again, it's quite possible that Tosafot has to give this explanation according to Rav Nachman, or it's possible according to Rav Nachman, you don't need to get to that chiddush. But it is a big chiddush that even in the face of a sveik sveika, you would still bring an asham taloi. The Gemara now asks, what is the nafkamina ben these different explanations? Now that we added a third explanation. Maika ben ikva isura, the e of Sharla Varer isura. The same question is, what's the difference between Rav Nachman's explanation of Rav and Rabbi Zera's explanation of Rav? Ika ben hayu kagon sheyulafanav shtei chachatichot. It's two pieces. Chachal chele v'chachal shuman. Uva uveid kochavim v'chalat arishona. Goy came and ate the first one. Uba Yisrael v'chalat ashniya. And then the Jew comes along and eats the second one. L'Rabba, Rabba says the reason that you have to have shtei chatichot is a gzera tekatuv of mikol mitzvot. Aim l'mikra, the way you read it. Then, leka mitzvot v'idna dachal Yisrael. When the Jew comes to eat it, there were no two pieces here. The goy already ate one piece, and therefore when you come to eat it, there's only one piece there, you fail at the gzera tekatuv. No Hashem talui in this case. L'Rabbi Zera, yefsher the vareri surei. According to Rabbi Zera, you cannot clarify the situation because the goy already ate up one of the pieces. When you eat the second piece, there's nothing left to check anymore. There's no way to determine after the fact what the information was because both pieces are absent now. According to Rav Nachman, ikva isura. According to Rav Nachman, there was clearly isura over here. That we know. One of the two pieces was chaleb. The fact that the goy ate one beforehand doesn't change the fact that there was Easter here for sure. We just didn't know which piece it is. That same situation exists even post the Achilah of the Oveid Kochavim. So according to Rav Nachman, it still would qualify for an Hashem Taloi because Ikva Yisura. According to Rabbi Zera and Rabbah, this would not qualify for an Hashem Taloi because you fail at either Epshar the Barer Yisro, or you fail at the Gzeret HaKatuv of Mitzvot, and you need two pieces in front of you at the time the violation takes place. Eighth May, Rava the Rav Nachman. So Rava poses to his Rebbe Rav Nachman the same questions we asked of Rabba and the same questions we asked of Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Koi, Chayavin al Chobo, Asham Taloi. So going to Rabbi Elazar, we know that when it comes to a Koi, you bring in Asham Taloi. And over there, it's not Ikva Yisura, because we have no idea whether the Koi is a Behemar or Chaya. There's no Ikva Yisura. Where it says, Rabbi Elazar, Lo Boi Kviyut al Yisura. Same way that everybody else answered until now. Rabba said that Rabbi Elazar believes aim l'misorit, not aim l'mikra. Rabbi Zera said Rabbi Elazar believes you don't need efshar l'varer yisuro. And now Rav Nachman says the same thing. Rabbi Elazar doesn't need ikva yisura. He doesn't require that. Etavei safek ben tet rishona ben zayin l'acharon. Same question with regards to the yivama. The baby is a safek, a 9-month term from the first brother who passed away, or a 7-month term from the second brother who performed yibum. Yotzi, he has to divorce the woman. Vavlad kasher, the vlad is kasher, because this is safek. Vechavin v'asham taloi. Again, how can you have an asham taloi? There's no ikva yisura over here. Amani, Rabbi Lazar, he. Again, we're going to say it's authored by Rabbi Lazar. Eve, nimtza shalo, tmeim. So here the Gemara quotes the entirety of it. Nimtza shalo, if you find it on his cloth afterwards, then for certain they're both tmeim, because it was bol nidah v'chayvin b'korban chatat, there's no safek over here. Nimtza shalayt yom, it's found on her cloth immediately, tmeim, they are tmeim, because she's a nidah, he's a bol nidah, v'chayvin b'korban, and they're responsible to bring a korban chatat, because for sure he was bol nidah. Nimtza shalayt achar zman, it's found on her cloth after some time, tmeim is safek, then you have safek tumah, upturim in a korban, but Tani Allah, and we have the brayta that says b'chayavim b'asham taluoy ishtik. Rav Nachman didn't answer here because the way that we answered it until now, that's how we answered for Rabba and we answered Rabbi Zera, was Rabbi Elazar. How come he doesn't do that? It's a little strange. The bader nafak after Rabba left, Amar my time alo amri le ta'amani Rabbi Meir. Rav Nachman says to himself, I should have told him it was Rabbi Meir and I would have solved the problem. Delo ba'ik viuta l'isura, because Rabbi Meir doesn't need ik viuta l'isura. And the Gemara is Tetanya. Ashuchet Hashem Taluay Bechutz. Shamru Shechsh and Hashem Taluay Bechutz, meaning that outside of the Beit Mikdash where it was supposed to be brought, Rabbi Meir Mechayev, Rabbi Meir says Yerchayev for Shchut Echutz, the Chachamim Putrim, and the Chachamim say that you are Patur. So what's clear here is that the Hashem Taluay is considered to be a Korban with Kedusha that could be brought in the Mikdash. Now, Hashem Taluy inherently involves a safik, because you don't know whether you need to bring this korban, and despite the fact that you don't know you have to bring the korban, you bring it anyway, because the Torah tells you that when there's a safik, in these situations, you bring an Hashem Taluy. But that means that anytime someone is makdish and Hashem Taluy, there's a certain amount of reticence in the hakdashah, because he's not certain whether he has to bring it or not. So now, when Rabbi Meir says that when you bring it, and you bring it b'chutz, it says here, he's chayav b'shum z'chut e'chutz, apagav di'ik al-meimah, shem alo achal chelev. Maybe he didn't eat chelev. V'asham zeh chulinu. Maybe this asham is really chulin. Because it always remains in that safek, that even after the fact that we get information, that would change this asham taloi from being kodesh into something that's not kodesh, according to Rabbi Meir. In order for you to do something wrong, like z'chut e'chutz, Rabbi Meir does not require that you have certainty about the Easter that's there. It's enough that there's a safek. And according to Rabbi Meir, you're going to bring an Hashem Taloi for this violation. Because this violation remains as a safek. The Hashem Taloi maybe or may not be Hekdesh. Because if you get clarification about your position later on, according to Rabbi Meir, it turns the animal into chulin. So there is a safek vis-a-vis this shkut echutz. And when he says chayav, it means you're chayav and Hashem Taloi. He says that you're chayav. You see that Rabbi Meir does not require kviyut al isura. If you require kviyut al isura, then you'd have to be certain that the Hashem Taloi is something that you're chayav for. So that's exactly why the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Meir and say patur. Because you can't have an Hashem Taloi where you have certainty with it. It's inherently, it is a fake. Since it's inherently a fake, you can never be chayav because it's lacking kviyut al isura. Now, Tosafot points out over here, Chachamim Potrim, over here is Lamainu Chachamim to the command to pliga le Rabbi Meir. This is not the Chachamim that argue on Rabbi Meir, we're going to see later on in the Masechta, because Damar Yireach Yisteit. Because those Chachamim say that the animal goes out to graze, and you wait to get a mum in it. The fact that they're making it go out to graze and get a mum in it, that means that they think it's Hekdesh Gamur. And then you would be Chayav B'chutz. But the Chachamim over here say that, like Rabbi Meir, Vadifi Meir Rabbi Meir, they're like Rabbi Meir later on. So it doesn't just pointing out that you have multiple opinions about what the story with this animal is. Whether it's Hekdesh or not, that's one question. And even if it is Hekdesh, what do you do with it if you don't need it anymore, when you find out that you don't need the animal? So what happens if you separate out an Hashem Taloi, and then you get the Yediyah, and now you have to bring a Chatat? What happens to that Hashem Taloi? Rabbi Meir says, so it becomes chulin. Despite that fact, if you shechted b'chutz, before you have that yidiyah, Rabbi Meir says you're chayav, because boy, v'yisura, and therefore he says you don't need to. As long as you know that at this point there's a possible hekdesh, shchut echutz. The chamim over there say you're actually stayed, that you gotta wait till it gets a moment in it. Why? So the chamim clearly think that it is hekdesh, so they would agree here that you're chayav for shchut echutz, because they think gamaru makdish. Person, even though it's a safek, in his mind, he knows he has to bring an Hashem Taloi, and he says, I'm bringing it, and he's makdishit l'chum of the vadai. Doesn't think there's a fake left. What Tosafot points out is the chachamim over here that say you're patur are clearly not the chachamim later on, because those chachamim think it is hekdesh gamur. These Chachamim think there's a safek in the Hekdesh, and that safek persists. Like Rabbi Meir, later on, who says that a person's only makdish mi safek, but they say even more than that. Since it's a safek, and lo yikva yisura, when you shkut echot, you're not chayav for it. So there, Rabbi Meir plus. Rabbi Meir says that a person only is makdish mi safek, and if you find out, then it goes to chulin. They're saying that plus, they're saying you're not chayav for shkut echot. That's what Tosafot points out, that distinction between the different positions of the Chachamim. So now Gemara asks the simple question, Bamai, Leibolei Rabbi Elazar he. Why did he just say it was Rabbi Elazar? Like everybody else said all along, it was Rabbi Elazar. Why did he say, you know, he didn't answer that. And then he says, oh, I should have told him Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir? Just say it's Rabbi Elazar. You would have solved the problem quickly. Hakamash Malon, the Rabbi Meir, Meshita Rabbi Elazar Koi. He wanted to teach that additional factor that Rabbi Meir has the same position as Rabbi Elazar. As far as Rabbi Elazar is concerned, he wasn't bothered by the question. He knew Rabbi knew the answer to the question, and that was Rabbi Elazar he. That's the easy answer. What he was upset about was he could have given another piece of information, which is Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Elazar. If he had said this was Rabbi Meir, then not only is he telling us that Loik Vayisura, according to Rabbi Elazar, is not necessary, he's telling us that Rabbi Meir has that same position. And now we have another Tana with that position. Again, it's not a problem for me because there will be a Dat Yachid associated with that position. But at least I could have taught that information. That's why he was upset that he didn't say that it was Rabbi Meir. Amar Rabba Baravua Amar Rav. Although the alternate girs over here is Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Baravua Amar Rav. This would be quoted in the name of Rav Nachman. The way we have it in our girs is Rabba Baravua Amar Rav. Katicha Safek Shel Chelev Safek Shel Shuman Bachala. If you have a piece that's a Safek Chelev Safek Shuman one and you eat it, Banu L'Machloket Rabbi Eliezer V'Chachamim. Now you come to the Machloket of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. This is interesting only because until now, we spoke about it in a definitive manner. And now we're saying, oh, it's really a machloket. Now we know it's a machloket because we already quoted Rabbi Elazar, who has a differentiated opinion. Here the Bali Tosafot say that it's gotta be that the girsa here is Rabbi Eliezer, and the girsa before was Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara is gonna ask a question here that it didn't ask before. And if it asks the question here, it's clearly referencing to a different individual. And the fact that he asked it before shows you they weren't speaking about that individual before. And that is, Rabbi Eliezer, my area, ki achla. According to Rabbi Eliezer, why does it matter that he ate it? Afilo lo achla nami. Even if he didn't eat it, you'd be chayav. It's not. Rabbi Eliezer omer, mitna deva dam asham toloi b'chol yom. Rabbi Eliezer is of opinion later on in Daf Chaf Hei that you can bring in asham toloi every day of the year. As you please. You can bring it as a voluntary offering. It's not something that's an obligatory offering. Amar avashi, Rabbi Eliezer Aliba de Baba ben Buta. This is Rabbi Eliezer according to Baba ben Buta, who is there in that Mishnah right afterwards. It's not. Ela omrim lo hamtein achi tikanes the Beit Safek. But my friends tell me I gotta wait until there is a Safek. The Gemara here is referencing as to the Mishnah on Chavhei. The Mishnah Chavhei, Rabbi Eliezer brings his opinion that you can bring a voluntary offering of an Hashem Taloi every day of the year. Whenever you want, you can do it voluntarily. Feel bad about something, you have something that's bothering you, you just want to bring it to be sure, you can bring it every day. And Baba ben Buta had that practice. He followed this Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, but he says over there, there's a qualification. He used to bring one every day. Chutz me'achar Yom HaKippurim, Yom Echad. He did not bring it on Motzei Yom HaKippurim. On the day after Yom Kippur, he would not bring an Hashem Toloi. He says, Amar HaMa'on HaZeh, he takes a Shvua by the name of the Mikdash. If my friends let me, I would have brought an Hashem Taloi even on Motzei Yom HaKippurim. But they say, wait until there's at least some Safek. Immediately after Yom HaKippurim, where you attain Kapara for your sins, and we say that if you're Chayav and Hashem Taloi, if you cross over Yom Kippur, that wipes out the need for the Hashem Taloi, because Yom HaKippurim is Mechaper, and if you needed a Hashem Taloi, it can provide the same Haganah, the same protection as an Hashem Taloi. So you just crossed through Yom HaKippurim. Motzei Yom HaKippurim, the next day, if you're bringing Hashem Taloi, you didn't have enough time to get yourself into a safek, a real safek. What you see from that is that Baba ben Buta requires that there be some sort of safek aveira. Or at least his friends, those that are there, say that you need some safek aveira there. It's not Rabbi Eliezer who says, by himself, his own opinion is you can bring it as a voluntary offering anytime you want. But what we're saying over here is, when you say that it's a machloket Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, that's the Rabbi Eliezer according to Baba ben Buta's scenario, which is you need at least some sort of safek aveira in there. You can't just bring it willy-nilly. You need to have something that's bothering you or some reason to believe that you need to have a safek avera. So that's the answer to the question, which is, the Gemara said, according to Rabbi Eliezer, why do you need a safek if you ate one piece of shuman or chelev? Why do you need that safek to bring the Hashem Talu? You can bring it without it. The answer is, Baba Ben Buta. Only according to that view of Rabbi Eliezer, you can bring it voluntarily. Is that a problem? But according to the Baba Ben Buta model, that means you need to have an avera. And that's what you have here. You have an avera, a safek avera. And that's why you can bring an Hashem Talu. So now, the problem is, this Rabbi Eliezer, how does it apply to our Gemara's Girsa until now was Rabbi Eliezer, the Rabbi Eliezer that we were mentioning before. The Rabbi Eliezer that we said was, do vayik vayisura, or doesn't need the barer isura, doresh aim the misoret, and not aim the mikra. That's how we answered all those brightot before, mishnayot and brightot before, of opinions that go against Rav's shita. We said, oh, they're all attributed to Rabbi, the way our Gemara reads is Rabbi Eliezer. Well, if it's attributed to Rabbi Eliezer, how is it that the Gemara didn't ask this question all of our cases before? The Gemara assigned it to Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer believes you can bring it on a voluntary basis. So why do you need any of these Isurim to force you to bring it? So the Gemara didn't ask that question. For that reason, Tosafot says, all those cases before were not authored by Rabbi Eliezer, but by Rabbi Elazar. And Rabbi Elazar has a different opinion. He has an opinion that you don't need Ikva Yisura, you don't need Levira Yisura, you don't have aim the mikra, but rather aim the misoret. That's one series of Mishnayot Brightot that are authored by Rabbi Elazar. He still requires that you have an isur. He still requires that you violate something to bring it, but he doesn't have that standard of shtei chatikot. Here, Rabbi Eliezer has a totally different opinion, which is, forget about any isur over here. There's the issue of, you can bring it voluntarily. And since you can bring it voluntarily, there's no need for isur at all. That's why the Gemara asked the question, because here, we're dealing with Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Now, Tosafot over here says, I don't really understand the nature of the Gemara's question. It says, Im Tomar, my parich. What's the question? There's a difference between voluntarily bringing a Hashem Taloi and being obligated to bring an Hashem Taloi. Why don't you just say, when a person eats a one piece, that Safek Chelev, Safek Shuman, you're chayav to bring a Korban Hashem Taloi. And when Rabbi Eliezer says later on in the Mishnah and Chavei, says you can bring an Hashem Taloi anytime you want, that's a Nidava. So it's right, okay. So there are two different mechanisms for bringing in a Hashem Taloi. One is a voluntary offering, so that you can't compel the person to bring. He wants to bring it, to bring it. Over here, we could compel him to bring the Korban, because he is Chayav and Hashem Taloi. There's a big difference between them. That's what leads him, with other questions as well, to this answer that the Gemara until now was speaking about Rabbi Elazar, and here it's me about Rabbi Eliezer. That still doesn't totally answer the question, why isn't there a difference between obligatory Hashem and a voluntary Hashem? So that the Shita Mekubetzet in Ot Hei speaks to that. He says, Tzarich lomar t'tarvayu svilei de patur. You have to believe that both of them believe you're patur. Devin and bet chatichot v'leka. He says, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, you need two chatichot. So he's fleshing out what Tosfot said, that Rabbi Eliezer does not hold like Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Eliezer believes, like Rav's position, that you need shtei chatichot. And therefore you need ikva yisura. And therefore you need Efshar the Barer Yisuro. Or it definitely is aim le mikra, not aim le misoret. Even though Rabbi Lezer in other places holds aim le misoret, over here he holds aim le mikra. And if that's the case, he believes you're patur here. That's the nature of the Gemara's question. And the question is, eat mikabli mimeno or lo mikabli mimeno? When he brings an Hashem Taloi, when he ate one piece that was sefek shaman shavei chelev, do you accept his korban? And the answer to that is, according to the Chachamim, no, because he's patur. According to Rabbi Eliezer, he's patur, but we still accept the korban because of the fact that you're allowed to voluntarily bring a korban. For that, the Gemara asks, what do you mean? If it's voluntary, why do you have to have a case that he ate something? He could have not have eaten anything and brought it. That's according to Baba Ben Buta, that you require some semblance of a veira in order to bring it. So that's the Shita Mekubetzet helps us to understand that Rabbi Eliezer does not hold like Rabbi Elazar at all. He doesn't think that one piece is enough to bring the korban. He just says that you need some form of aveira, like Baba Ben Buta, in order to precipitate the voluntary offering of an Hashem Taloi, and that's what's going on over here. Just note that Rashi, unlike Tosafot, thinks that Rabbi Eliezer is the author of the position by Koi, as well as over here. The only thing is that Rashi learns, or is midayek, out of Rabbi Eliezer's position later on in the Masechta, that if you can bring it on a voluntary basis, that shows you that no matter what type of safek you're facing, you can always bring a korban Hashem Taloi. That means that even when you have an Achila v'chatika achat, that would still precipitate a need for an Hashem Taloi. And that's why we would think that Rabbi Eliezer believes you have to bring an Hashem Taloi. And then the Gemara's question is, why do you need to eat anything? It could be brought, even if you did not think you could bring it. And the Gemara's answer to that is that, is according to Bava ben Buta, but you do require some semblance of Avira, and that Katicha Achat provides, which you don't have, if you didn't have any of that. Tosafot's question is, then why don't we ask that same question back by Koi? That's what persuades him that the author of the position of Koi and Rabbi Eliezer over here are not the same position. And Rashi will just have to answer that the case of Koi is the case where he ate it. There's no reason to ask, why did he have to eat it? That's the case. The case was that he did eat it. But over here, when you're talking about Rav, where he's making up a case, or he's explaining a case, why did he explain the case of Rabbi Eliezer in a case of eating when he could have explained it otherwise? Mar says, Tanu Banan, Ayu lefanav shtei chatichot. He has in front of him two pieces. Achat shel shuman, achat shel chelev. One of shuman, one of chelev. Ba Yisrael v'achalat arishona. The Jew ate the first one. Ba'wei kochavim v'achalat ashniya. And the non-Jew came and ate the second one. Chayav. In that case, he's chayav. Because in all of those scenarios, when Yisrael ate it, he qualified for all the things that are possibly the explanation of Rav Shita. If it's mitzvot, like Rabba says, you had two pieces when he ate it. If it is ikva yisura, over here it was clearly ikva yisura, the chelev was there beforehand. Or if he believed that it's an issue of efshar levarer yisuro, but at the time that you ate it, the other piece was still there and it was efshar levarer yisuro. Therefore, according to everyone, you're chayav and Hashem Taloi. Doesn't matter who ate the second one, whether it's a goy, whether it's a dog, whether it's a raven, if it was eaten, that doesn't matter. On the other hand, if the first piece was eaten by the non-Jew, and then the Jew ate the second one, in that case he is potur. Rabbi is mechayev in this case. So in the Sheet of Mikubetzot Zayin, he explains the machloket here between Rabbi and the Chachamim according to each of the opinions. Says the Chir Barav, who explained, and that's the same sheet as Rabbah, that the machloket here between Rav and Ravasi relates to Eim LeMikra, Eim LeMisoret. He's going to say over here, Achanami Bahapligei. That's the machloket here as well. The Tanakama Poter, the Sever Yesh Eim LeMikra. The Tanakama that says Yipador believes Eim LeMikra, therefore mitzvot, you need Shtei Chatikot, and you don't have that. And Rabbi, who's Michayev over here, is going to hold Eim LeMisoret. Similarly for Rabbi Zera, where the issue is so then we're going to say that the Chachamim, the Tanakam would say Patur, are holding like Rabbi Zeira's position that there is a need for Efshar the Vareri Suro. And Rabbi, who is Mechayev, holds that you don't need Efshar the Vareri Suro. I mean, he holds like Rabbi Elazar's opinion that we saw before. The problem is for Rav Nachman, in terms of Kviot Isura, the Shita Mikubetzot has one version of it, but if you look in the note, Od Aleph down below, he has a different version of it, which seems to make more sense, which is, Bishmal the Rabbi, de Mechayev. According to Rabbi, says, Hu Chayav, then Necha, de la Ha'ikva Yisura. Because there is Ikva Yisura, even though only one item is left, that's called Ikva Yisura, because that's the way the Gemara explained Ikva Yisura, according to Rav Nachman before. That even when you have one item, that there was Yisur here, or the possibility of Yisur here, that's enough to be classified as ikva isura. But according to the Rabbanan who say you're potter over here, why are you potter? It's ikva isura. There is an ikva isura over here. And so, even if they hold, you don't need ikva isura, that's not going to help you over here, because it is ikva isura, and you should say that you are chayav. So why, according to the Chachamim, are you potter over here? That's why it's phrased in the note. The answer of the Shita Mikubetzot is, according to Rav Nachman, you really have three different positions over here. Rabbi was Mechayev because of Ikva Isura. You have Rabbi Elazar who believes that you don't need Ikva Isura. And then you have the Chachamim here that are Poter because it's not the full-fledged Ikva Isura that you're Chayav only when you have two pieces. That means that now you have three opinions with regards to this. Achaleta Rishona Bishogeg Vashniya B'mezid. If the Jew ate the first one unintentionally, and the second one intentionally, chayav. In that case, he is chayav, because as everything that we said before, when he eats the second one, b'mezid, it's no different than the goy eating the second one. When he ate the first one, he was a shogeg. He has all those qualifications of shtei mitzvot, or efshar levarer isuro, or ikva yisura. When he eats the second one of mezid, it doesn't detract from the fact that the first one was bishogeg, and therefore he has to bring an asham taloi. Arishuna b'mezid, v'ashneya b'shogeg. If he eats the first one intentionally, and then the second one b'shogeg, the mezid over here isn't that he ate, knew his chalev and ate it, but rather that he knew it was a safek and ate it anyway. And therefore, that would be supportive of Rashi and Tosafot's contention that when you know that information about the safek beforehand, you don't bring an asham taloi. That's why when you eat it b'mezid, meaning knowingly that it is a safek, you don't bring a korban asham taloi. That would be supportive of their position. Although there is a view amongst the Rishonim, including the Shita Mikubetzet in Tubot, who brings in the name of the Tamidei Rabbeinu Yonah, that even when you knew it's a safek and ate it, that still requires you to bring in a Sham Taloi. Over here, you're going to explain Mezid means he knew it was Caleb and ate it anyway. And then afterwards, when he goes to eat the second piece, Bishogeg, over there, now there's an uncertainty that arises with regards to the first piece. And that's why he's a shogeg now, but that is somewhat of a difficult explanation of the Gemara. Then you are patur, for all the reasons we said before. You're lacking in shtei mitzvot. You're lacking in efshar lebarer isuro, because the first one was already consumed and it's not available to you. Rav Nachman, again, ikva isuro present a problem, but we have the alternate view of Rabbi Mechayev. Achal shteim b'mezid, patur miklum. Obviously, if he eats both of them intentionally, he doesn't have to bring an asham taloi, because you don't bring an asham taloi, elav shogeg. Not b'mezid, shtehen b'shogeg. If both of them are eaten b'shogeg, one Israel ate the first one b'shogeg, and another Israel brought the second one b'shogeg. Shnehem chayavin. Both of them are chayav to bring an asham taloi. Hasheni lo min adin. The second one doesn't have to bring him in adin because he doesn't have the shtei chatichot in front of him. You don't have mitzvot. You don't have efshar lebarer yisuro. And you probably don't have ikva isura anymore because the other one might have been the isur, and then there's no isur here anymore. So then he doesn't really have to bring it. Ella shimachah taomer patur, because if you say this one is patur, kavata dimishona bechatat, then you establish the first one must have had to bring a chatat. If both of them are besafek, then both of them should bring an asham taloi. Can't be that the first guy is bringing asham taloi and the second guy is for sure patur. Because if the second one's patur, the first guy's chayav achatat and not an asham taloi. Because that means you're saying the second one was the shuman, the first one was the chelev, and the first guy should have to bring it. So now we make the second guy bring an asham taloi, not because halachically, if the situation was, again, like an Ovik Chachamim ate the first one, and he ate the second one, he wouldn't bring an asham taloi. But in this case, if he doesn't bring an asham taloi, then the first one can't bring an asham taloi, because they both need to be besafek. So in order to make sure that the first one has a din of safek, we have to make the second one a din of safek. Not that that would compel us, halachically, to say that the first one has to bring a chatat, but the first guy is going to feel, or he's going to bring a chatat, because he sees the second one being patur. That means that the assumption must be that his is the one that was Caleb, and therefore he should bring a chatat. Manu, who is author of this last position here, that the second one has to bring an asham taloi? E Rabbi, min adin, o min adinu. According to Rabbi, the second one has to bring an asham taloi min adin because ikva isura, like we saw all along, that if you have ikva isura, even though the first one was eaten already, the second one still has a din of ikva isura, and he should be chayav the second one, not because, oh, we want to make sure the first one has a safek, it's because min adin, he has a din to bring a korban asham taloi. Ira Bonan, who argue on him in this breita that we just brought, shum dalod ikva rishon b'chatat, because the first one, we don't want him to have to, quote-unquote, bring a chatat. Neimale the sheni, aiti chulin azara. We tell the second guy who's not chayav an asham taloi to bring an asham taloi, which is chulin azara. That doesn't make any sense. Amar Ravashi. So Ravashi says, Rabbi Eliezer he. It's authored by Rabbi Eliezer. Damar mitandei vadam asham taloi b'chol yom. Hilkach amin le, aiti asham taloi v'adme. That's what we say to the second guy. Bring the asham taloi and make a condition. Iachal rishon shuman. The first guy ate shuman. Hu achal chelev. And he, the second guy, ate the chelev. L'havi kapara. Then this kurban asham taloi should be my kapara. V'lo. If not, meaning that the first guy ate chelev and then what I ate was shuman. L'havi nidava. Then it could be a voluntary offering. Tanu Rabbanan. Achal safek chelev v'nodolo. Safek chelev v'nodolo. The person eats something that's safek chelev, and then he finds out about the safek. And then he eats again, safek chelev, v'nodolo, and he finds out about it. Rabbi Omer, Omerani, Rabbi says, I say, k'shem shemevi chatat, al kol achat v'achat, just like if he had such a yediya in between chataot, meaning that it wasn't a hela machat, he'd have to bring a chatat on each one of them. Kach mevi Hashem taloy al kol achat v'achat. So to over here, the safek achila that also generates a safek yediya, both of those, that also generates separation between them, and therefore you're going to bring a separate Hashem taloy for each one of these violations. Rabbi Yossi, be Rabbi Yehuda, and the Girsa that the Shittim Kubetz and Rashi seem to have is, be Rabbi Elazar, be Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, Emi vi al Hashem Taloi Echad. You only bring one Hashem Taloi, Shenemar, because the Pasuk says with regards to the Hashem Taloi, the Kiper Alev HaKohen, al Shigigato, Asher Shagag, Behu Yadav, and Yislach Lo. And they say that the Pasuk, when it says, al Shigigato, Asher Shagag, Afilo Ashigigot Harbei, Enu Chayav El Echad. Even on multiple forgettings or problems, you only have to bring one Hashem Taloi to cover all of them. So again, here you have an interesting case, which is that person eats something, behelam. It was something that had a safek associated with it. He forgets and he eats it, or he wasn't aware of the safek. He became aware of the safek, then forgets about the safek, becomes aware of the safek, forgets it. Does that create a separation? Now, if he finds out for certain afterwards, doesn't that create a separation and each one will be a separate chatat? So Rabbi says, if that's the case with a chatat, then it should also precipitate the fact that you have to bring a separate Hashem in each of these cases, even though the yediyah is only a yediyah, that the item is a safek. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon say that that's not the case because the Hashem Taloi can cover multiple violations, and therefore the yediyah does not create the separation. So Amar Rabbi Zeira, Kan Shana Rabbi, Yediot Safek, Michalkot Lichatot. So from this you would conclude, according to Rabbi Zeira, that knowledge of a Safek is enough division to create separate Chatot. And Rav Amar, any Yediot Safek, Michalkot Lichatot. That a Safek Yediyah is not enough. So here, in between each of these eatings that he does, he finds out that there is a Safek involved over here. So he has a yediyah, but that's not a vadai yediyah. He doesn't know for certain he ate something wrong. All he knows is that he might have done something wrong because it was a safek, and then he forgets again and eats that same safek again. So the yediyah is not a full-fledged yediyah. What Rabbi Zeira concludes from here, and that's the pashtut of what Rabbi said, is that yediyah would have been sufficient to make you chayab chatot, because if you find out for certain you ate chaleb in all those cases, according to Rabbi, you're going to bring a separate chatat for each one of them. That's why when you have that safek yediyah about a safek, you bring an Hashem Taloi on each one of them. On the other hand, Rava says that's not the case. Rava says that a Safek Yediyah is not enough to separate these into separate halamot to make you chayav chatat. But then how do you explain what Rabbi said? This is what he meant. If you had a full-fledged knowledge of the fact that you ate chaleb, maybe chatat, lako achat v'achat, you bring a chatat on each one of them, Kach, so too, my tell you, diat safek, maybe a sham taloy al kol achat v'achat. When you have your diat safek, that's enough to precipitate separate ashamot tluyot. So what Rava says in Rabbi's position is, if you want to bring a chatat vadai, then you need vadai yediyah in between to make it that each one's considered to be a separate shogeg, a separate halama, and then that only happens when you have a yediyah vadai between them. And Rabbi's parallel is just like by chatat, where you need a yediyah vadayit to bring a chatat vadayit, so too by a sham, which is brought al safek, then a yediyat safek will suffice to create that separation, that each one of those violations should be enough to bring a separate asham b'safek. And so that's Rabbi's position. It's a fundamental machloka between Rabbi Zeira and Rava as to whether yediyat safek, when you become aware of the fact that there was something wrong here, but you're not certain about the wrongness, you just know that you had a yediyah, that there was a safek, is that sufficient grounds to say that whatever avera takes place afterwards is a new avera? And therefore, when you find out much later that you did do a violation, that yediyah in between made enough of a separation that you have to bring two separate chataot, or not? That's the machlokes here between Rabbi Zeira and Rava. The Gemara says, Amarle Abaye. So Abaye says to Rava, Va'at lo tizbara, the yediyot safek mechalkot. For chatot, you don't believe that a yediyat safek can separate for chatot. If you believe that yediyot of safek are not sufficient grounds to create a separation for chatot, chatat achat may be, and then he would only bring one chatat in this case. So in the case here where he ate something, and then he remembers that it might be a safek, forgets, eats it again, then remembers that it might be a safek. So according to you, those yidiot are not enough to separate when he finds out later on that he really did eat chalef, and therefore he's only going to bring one chatat. So then, amai mibi, asham taloy, al kachat bachat. If that's the case, then why does Rabbi think you bring a separate asham taloy in each one of them? Vaha tanyo, don't we have a braita? Klalo shel davar. Principle at hand over here is, kosha chalukim echatot, chalukim ashamot. There is a parallel that is drawn between the chatat and the ashamot. If you're chayav, multiple chatot, you're going to be chayav, multiple ashamot. If you're chayav, only one chatat, you're chayav, only one asham. According to you, you're going to end up with a situation in which you're chayav only one chatat if you find out for certain that you violated it, because the idiot safek in between are not sufficient to make it into a separate chatat. But as far as the shamot are concerned, you have to bring a separate asham on each one of them, according to Rabbi. That breaks this parallel structure that is brought in the braita that says that this is the principle. Chatat equals asham. And only when you bring a chatat, you're going to bring an asham taloi. You just said that you can have one chatat for all of these violations, yet in terms of Hashemot, you're going to bring a separate Hashem for each one of them. Tosfot says that the Gemara's assumption here is that Rabbi does not disagree with the Braita. And even though Rabbi Yehuda is the author of this position earlier, nevertheless, we don't find Rabbi arguing on that position. And according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, you'll have to explain the Braita in the following manner, which is that not that it's multiple violations of the same Isur, but rather it's multiple violations of different Isurim. And just like there's a chalukah lechatot, so too there is a chalukah lashamot. Amarle Rava Bar Chanan le Abaye. So Rava Bar Chanan says to Abaye, Ulididach tamart yidiot safek mechalkot lechatot. Alright, so you want to take the position like Rabbi Zeira, that yidiot safek are sufficient grounds to separate between the chatot. El meato. If that's the case, achal kazayit chalev lifnei yom kippurim, if he eats a kazayit chalev before Yom Kippur, u kazayit chalev lachar yom kippurim, and then eats a kazayit chalev after Yom Kippur, v'yom kippurim v'makom asham taloi koi, and we know that Yom Kippur functions like an asham taloi. If someone is chayav in asham taloi, and they bump into Yom Kippur obviates the need to bring an asham taloi anymore. It does whatever kapara Yasham Daloi provides, and Haganah that it provides, that can be provided by Yom HaKippurim. So if that's the case, Yom HaKippurim is the equivalent of what we call Yediyah B'Safek, because that means that you had some sort of kapara that ensued from Yom HaKippurim. So Hachanami Demevi Shtei Chata'ot. Now you're going to tell me he's going to have to bring two Chata'ot? HaBelem HaChat HaChlinon, and he only ate them one Halam and one forgetting. So an individual who, before Yom HaKippurim, forgot that you're not allowed to eat chalev, and eats chalev b'shogeg. He never remembers any of that information, and after Yom Kippur also eats chalev, assuming again that it wasn't problematic. Then he finds out, oh my goodness, it is chalev, or it's chalev is asur. Now he needs to bring a chatat. How many chatot does he bring? According to Rava Bar Chana, it's pretty straightforward. He only brings one chatat, because there was one alama over here. You only forgot once. You forgot that you couldn't eat chalev before Yom Kippur, after Yom Kippur, it's all the same forgetting. You have one forgetting, and you bring one chatat. Yet according to you, Abaye, you should have to bring two chatot, because you tell me that yediyah misafek, knowledge misafek, that functions like to split up an asham taloi, should be sufficient grounds to also separate the chatot. Now, if you had the same situation where you had a safek before Yom Kippur and a safek after Yom Kippur, those would be divided into two separate violations, because Yom Kippur would take care of the safek violation before Yom Kippur, and the one after Yom Kippur is now a new violation. You have to bring an Asham Taloi separately for it. That means that Yom HaKippurim functions like a Yediyah for an Asham Taloi. If you're telling me that a Yediyah for an Asham Taloi is sufficient grounds to separate for Chatot, then Yom Kippur should also separate for Chatot. And we see that that's not the case. Amale Abaye Oman Lemalan de Yom Kippurim Mechaper Al Dolo Mityadile. Who says that Yom Kippur is Mechaper on someone who's not aware of the fact? You're making an assumption that Yom Kippur works in place of an Asham Taloi, and therefore it's the equivalent of a Yediyah that separates between one Asham Taloi and another Asham Taloi. Yom HaMahud Mityadile. Maybe it only works when you know about it. Maybe Yom Kippur only functions to work like an Asham Taloi, to exempt the individual from having to bring a korban hasham taloi if he's aware now that he's chayav in hasham taloi. So when he's aware of that, then Yom Kippur will be mechaper. Well, that yidi, I agree with you, would separate between katot. But stam Yom Kippurim, where you don't have that yidi, first of all, it would not be mechaper on the hasham taloi, and you'd have to still bring and Hashem Taloi afterwards, and it'll all be one violation. And same with the Chatot, it'll all be one violation. So Amalei Rova, the Mishnah Shvuot that says that Yom HaKippurim is Mechaper in these cases is al Hoda v'lo Hoda, it's not. Says whether you knew about it or you didn't know about it, you successfully attained Kapara through the Korban Oath of Yom HaKippurim. If that's the case, then it's clear Yom Kippur works even al Hoda v'lo, even if you didn't know about it. And again, the question on you, Abai, is if Yom Kippur is sufficient to divide up the Hashemot, Tluyot, then why isn't it sufficient to divide up the Chatot, which nobody says? So the way Tosfot frames it, you can see this in the Ot, Hey, of the Shita Mikubetzet, is that if Yom Kippurim precipitates to Hashemot, then it should also precipitate to Chatot, and we see that that's not the case, and therefore the principle that you are establishing that Kosh Chalukim L'Chalotot Chalukim la'ashamot doesn't stand. Because over here you have two ashamot, and yet you only have one chatat in this situation, because Yom HaKippurim divides up the asham taloi violation from before Yom Kippur to the one afterwards. Yet by a chatat, it's all considered to be one helamachat. The Shita Mikubetzet then goes on to bring a more fundamental explanation based on the Rosh, which is that, Abaye, your position is that anything that is chaluk b'ashamot will also work by chataot, even though it shouldn't work by chataot. Which means that even though a yediyah misafek should not work by chatat, because it's a yediyah safek and you need a yediyah vadei, nevertheless you say it still works, because since it works by nasham, it also should work by a chatat. So similarly over here, by Yom HaKippurim, even though Yom HaKippurim should not work to divide up a chatat, nevertheless, since it works to divide up an nasham, it should also work to divide up a chatat. And that we don't find, because over here there's no yediyah at all. If there's no yediyah at all, how could you ever suggest that the chatot are separated? So you see your whole position is fundamentally undermined, which is that just because it's true by the asham does not mean it's going to be true by a chatat. Whereas Tosafot just sees it as dismissing this idea that there's some sort of equation of equivalence between chatot and ashamot. And any time that you have a number of chatot, you have a number of ashamot. Over here, Yom Kippur breaks that down and shows you that, well, even though there's multiple Hashemot, there's still only one Chatat, and therefore that equation is broken. The Rosh sees it as fundamental, which is that not only is the equation broken, the whole premise of what you're saying, that anything that works by Hashem should work by Chatat, is just not true by Yom HaKippurim, and that shows you that that whole principle is not true. Iga d'amrei, amalei rovar barchan on l'abayi. Some say the question that Rabbi Bar Chanan posed to Abaye was the following. A person eats chaleb on the morning of Yom Kippur. Another k'zayit chaleb on the afternoon of Yom Kippurim. Again, there, you're going to be chayav shtei chatot, because again, Yom Kippur is mechaper with regards to Hashem Taloi. So had this been a safek in the morning of Yom Kippur, and a safek in the afternoon of Yom Kippur, over there, you would have made chayav two separate hashamot luyot, but you have the kapara in between that separates between them, which is the first one is taken care of, and then only the second one come about, and you have a separate hasham taloi that's also taken care of by Yom HaKippurim. That's the case, then, why by chatot is not considered to be two separate chatot obligations, which Yom Kippur does not take care of, and in that case, you have to bring a separate chatat, one for the one in the morning, one for the afternoon. Who says that Yom Kippur provides kapara over the entirety of the day? Meaning every moment of Yom Kippur provides kapara. Dilma kule yoma meurta. Maybe the entirety of the kapara of Yom Kippurim is provided by nightfall. In all likelihood it means at nightfall at the end of Yom Kippurim, which we've spoken about before, that the kapara is attained at shkia, at the moment that the sun sets on Yom Kippurim. So who says there is kapara that's provided throughout the whole day? So if that's the case, then you can't prove anything about my position. You're assuming that had it been that there was an Hashem Taloi, then any part of Yom Kippur can be mechaper. If that's the case, then it's as if you have a yediyah for Hashemot Tluyot. And that's the case, then it should also work according to a bias position for a chatot. So I'm chayav chatat in the morning of Yom Kippur, afternoon of Yom Kippur, I have a di in between now because it would have removed the need for an Hashem Taloi, that part of Yom Kippur. That's like a yediyah that happened in between, a yediyah tzafik that happened in between. And yet nobody says that if you eat chalim in the morning of Yom Kippur, chalim in the afternoon of Yom Kippur, you have to bring two chatot. It's one halama, you don't have to bring one chatat. But he says, maybe you're wrong. Maybe Yom Kippur only is mechaper at its end, at the tail end. During the day, it's not mechaper. And therefore, there's no division between the chatat in the morning and the chatat in the afternoon. And that's why you bring only one korban over there. Amalei Rava Bar Chanan. So Rava Bar Chanan says back to Abaye, Tardo. Over here, there are numerous explanations as to what it means. Rashi brings over here, Shoteh, you fool. Or the way the Oroch brings it down, that it's somebody who is out of his mind, lost his mind, he is drooling at his mouth. Or, Lashon Acher Atzal, you lazy one. Meaning, you don't know something that's mufurash in a Mishnah against what you're saying. Or, you're a fool for asking or jumping to ask so quickly without giving any thought to what you're asking. Or, maybe, if you tear it as beets or spinach, or something like you beet head, spinach head. So again, it's not a complimentary term, but basically he's pushing against the Baye and saying that non. We have a Mishnah, and it's clear that that Mishnah that says what you're saying is incorrect. If you have a safek avera on Yom Kippur, even at the way tail end of the day, patur, you don't have to bring an Hashem Taloi. The entire day of Yom Kippur is mechaper. Every moment of Yom Kippur has the capacity to be mechaper, and any moment would obviate you from the need of bringing Hashem Taloi. Never my question is a valid question against you. If you have a chatat requirement in the morning, a chatat requirement in the afternoon, according to you, why aren't those two separate chatot? Why are they considered to be one violation for one chatat? Tosafot does ask over here, why does the Gemara bring the case of eating a Yom Kippur as being a case of you ate chalim in the morning of Yom Kippur and you ate chalim in the afternoon of Yom Kippur? Why don't you just say you ate in the morning of Yom Kippur and you ate in the afternoon of Yom Kippur? Because eating in of itself is a problem on Yom Kippurim. So Tosafot brings a technical answer and says, oh, because he mentioned the word kazayit, and kazayit by Yom Kippurim is not a valid shiur because you need kikotevet. You need enough to satisfy the individual, and therefore this kazayit would not be a qualified isur violation on Yom Kippurim. That's why he mentioned chalev and not just regular achila. I think you could answer, even if you had the kotevet, that we saw earlier, that there is a difference of opinion as to whether Yom Kippurim can be mechaper on aveirot of Yom Kippurim. In that Yom Kippur can be mechaper on aveirot that are not particularly associated with Yom Kippur. But if you violate Yom Kippurim, there were those that believed that that Yom Kippur cannot be mechaper for violations of Yom Kippur itself. And maybe that's why he gave the example of eating chalev, rather than the examples of eating on Yom Kippur. All right, now we have further questions on this position of Rabbi Zeira, who Abaye defended, which is, Maiti Rabbi Dibravin, Achal v'shata b'alem achat, on Yom Kippurim, if he eat and drinks in one forgetting, enu chayav ala chatat achat, he is only chayav one chatat. Now, shtia is a subset of achila, and that makes sense that you bring only one chatat, because you had a helam achat, you had one forgetting, and in one forgetting, you ate and drank, so you only have to bring one chatat. But according to you, Abaye, or according to Rabbi Zeira, ha ben achila l'shtia, yefshar d'la v'shaut b'yom. Between the eating and drinking, there has to be some gap. You ate and then you drank, but you have to stop in between them. There has to be some pause in between them. That he knew about it, and he contained kapara, yom kippurim, b'makom hasham taloi koi. Because Yom Kippur stands instead of a yasham taloi. So it's the equivalent of having a yediyah misafek, because it takes away an Hashem Taloi that you're chayav before from an Hashem Taloi that you're chayav afterwards. But yet it says over here, you're chayav l'achat. You're only chayav one. V'sakadatcha yediyah tzafek mechalko dechataot. If you think that a yediyah misafek is enough of a reason to separate out for chataot, meaning that if you have a yediyah that would obligate you in an Hashem Taloi, then that should also obligate you in an achatat or a separate chatat. L'chayev shtei chatot. And here too, you should be chayev shtei chatot. Amrei. So the Gemara answers, ki amar Rabbi Zeira l'Rabbi harabonani. Rabbi Zeira is saying this in the position of Rabbi, who says that a yediyat safek separates for hashamot tuyot, it also separates for chatot. That's the beginning of Rabbi. But there were the chachamim, who we saw above, that disagreed with Rabbi. I mean, the chachamim being Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who say that you only bring one Hashem Taloi, they think that those Yediot Misafek are not sufficient. And they're the authors of this position with regards to Yom HaKippurim. It says, wait a minute, Ma'at is Sefer Rabihi. Wait, that Mishnah in Yoma, that you're telling me that now it's Rabbanan and not Rabbi. The latter half of the Sefer over there is definitely Rabbi. Rabbi Sefer Rabbi, Diktoni, Shatat Siro Morius. Someone who drinks fish brine or fish hash on Yom HaKippurim, Patur. HaChometz. But if they drank vinegar, chayav, then it would be chayav because vinegar is something that is a normal drink that might be satiating. Umani, Rabbi. The only person who believes that is Rabbi, the Tanya. Chometz, emishivat nefesh. Tanakama, the Chachamim believe that when you drink vinegar, it doesn't restore you to your former state, and therefore you're still in a state to be noy. And the restriction of Yom Kippur is that asher lo te'uneh, someone who does not afflict themselves. Not afflicting yourself means that you ate something that satisfies you. Meshiv nefesh. That's why you need a kotevet size in order to return yourself to being in a state that's not inui, not afflicted. And the Chachamim believe you drink vinegar that doesn't do anything for you. Rabbi Omer Omer Ani, chometz meshivet nefesh. He disagrees and says chometz does. The Gemara is midayek out of the Seifa here that since only fish brine and fish hash were considered to be patur on Yom HaKippurim, that means the chometz is chayav. And the only one with that opinion is Rabbi. Umni Sefer Rabbi, so the latter half is Rabbi, then Reisha Nami Rabbi, then the Reisha Shalsmi Rabbi, and then how can Rabbi Zera claim that the first part's not a question on it because it's authored by the Rabbonon, it's authored by Rabbi. It says, Amre, you have to say, Sefer Rabbi, Reisha Rabbonon, and Ochanami. The Sefer is authored by Rabbi, the Reisha is authored by the Rabbonon, and yes, you have to have dual authorship, or the Tana there, except that Rabbi's position with regards to Chometz, and accepted the Rabbanan's position with regards to Yediot, Safek, and Ashamot. Etevei Robo, Rabbi said, Achal Hayom, Achal Machar. If someone, in violating Mi'ilah, ate a piece of something from Hekdesh today that was less than a shiur, and then he ate another piece tomorrow that was less than a shiur, the combined eatings add up to a shiur that you would be in violation of Mi'ilah. Ene Hayom, Ene Machar. You got benefit from Hekdesh, something that's not a consumable, but an item that you get hanah from it. If you got hanah less than a shiur today, and then have a achar less than a shiur tomorrow, and together they add up to a full shiur, or achal hayom, nehneh l'machar, yes, ate less than a shiur today, and then you got less than a shiur of hanah tomorrow, or nehneh hayom, you got hanah less than a shiur today, achal l'machar, ate less than a shiur tomorrow, all of those can combined into a single entity to make you chayav. And that's even true if it takes 3 years to reach the full shiur over here. So even if you ate today and then ate 3 years from now, a portion that was less than a shiur, but together they add up to a shiur, you're going to be chayav for mi'ilah. There's no time frame in which you need to violate mi'ilah, because mi'ilah is not an isra achila. It's an isra hanah. Isra achila is bound by kedei achilat pras. But the isra of eating in mi'ilah is not the eating per se. It is the eating is a form of hana'ah from Hekdesh. It's misappropriating Hekdesh for your personal benefit. You need to benefit in order to be chayav. Benefit has no time limit or time association with it. And therefore, even from today until 3 years, you're going to be chayav. Menayin she mitztarfim zem zeh. How do you know that they're all mitztaref to make it a single shi'ur? And therefore, you're going to be chayav. Tamar lomar, the posuk says, by the asham mi'ilot nefesh ki tim'ol mau. And here he say, Tim Omao, Reba, is a reboy. Tim Omao means multiple mi'ilot. Ve'amai, why should it work over here? Ha kippur le Yom HaKippurim. Didn't Yom Kippur provide kapara in the interim? If it's over 3 years, then there are these Yom HaKippurim that fall out in that 3 year period. And that should be enough to create a division between the mi'ilah before Yom Kippur and the mi'ilah after Yom Kippurim. So if you, the Yod Safek, create a separation, then when you had a Chatzis Shir before and a Chatzis Shir afterwards, the idea of Yom HaKippurim, which provides the idea of Safek, because it's Mechaper, on something that you'd be Chayav and Hashem Taloi for, that idea should have been sufficient to divide up the two Shirim, and you shouldn't be Chayav and Me'ilah, because you only had a Chatzis Shir, and then separately a Chatzis Shir, you can't combine the two of them. Amre, Ki Mechaper Yom HaKippurim, Ali Sura. Yom Kippur takes care of Isur, and therefore, when you have an Isur, Yom Kippur can be Mechaper, and that will divide up something that took place before Yom Kippur and something that took place after Yom Kippur. Al Mamona, lo Mechaper. On monetary obligations, there Yom Kippur can't provide kapara, because as we say, with regards to theft and other things, that yes, Yom Kippur can provide kapara for Ben Adam LeMakom, but Ben Adam LeChavero, you need either the mechila of your friend, or you need to pay them back before Yom Kippurim until it gives you the kapara. And over here, when it comes to the issue of mechila, mechila is determined not by achila, but by a pruto. It's a pruta worth of ana, pruta worth of achila, because it's a monetary obligation to Hekdesh for misappropriating Hekdesh. So it's all a monetary issue. The problem with Me'ila is really theft from Hekdesh, not an achila or kapara issue. And so Yom Kippurim is not going to provide you the kapara to divide up the different halves of the Me'ila beforehand and the Me'ila afterwards. When you're dealing with kapara issues, then Yom Kippurim provides that kapara, and also provides the idiots of faith. But when you're dealing with Mamona, monetary issues, Yom Kippurim is not a factor, because Mamona issues can only be solved by taking care of the monetary obligation. And here, Hekdesh is a monetary issue, not a Kapara issue. If that's the case, then Yom Kippurim is not going to divide up between a Chatzishir before and a Chatzishir afterwards. Somewhat akin to Rabbi Gamliel's position before, which is that Yom Kippurim provides kapara for yediyah, even a yediyah tzafek, when you're dealing with a real shiur, when you have an isur, shiur of isur beforehand. But if you're dealing with a chatzin shiur, Yom Kippurim is not bechaper because you didn't do anything wrong, quote unquote, yet, because you haven't reached the full threshold of a shiur to have isur, so that Yom Kippurim can be a mechaper. And therefore, over here, Yom Kippurim does not provide that yediyah in between, because it's only a chatzi shiur before and a chatzi shiur afterwards. Now you could argue that this is uniquely associated with Me'ila, because by Me'ila, chatzi shiur is less than a pruta. In general, we say that there's mechila for less than a pruta. But by other isurim shebe Torah, where chatzi shiur is asur min haTorah, then maybe even Yom Kippurim should be a sufficient hefsek between them. Because you do need kapara, even for chatzi shiur. Okay, Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish has the same view as Rabbi Zera. Kan Shana Rabbi Yediot Safek Mechalkot Dechatot. From here you see that Rabbi's position is that Yediot Safek divide up and make it that you get Chatot separately. Yochanan Amar, in Yediot Safek Mechalkot Dechatot. Rabbi Yochanan says like Rova, Eloh Chitani, and just like Rova, he mends Rabbi to make sense in that context, which is, Shem Shemaita Lo Yudiot Vadai, Mevi Al Kol Achat Vachat, Mevi Chatat Al Kol Achat Vachat. Just like if you had a Yudiah of certainty, that would be a divider for Chatot, and therefore you have to bring a separate Chatat on each one of them. Kach, Shemaita Lo Yudiot Safek, Mevi Hashem Taloi Al Kol Achat Vachat. So too, when you have a Yudiah Safek, you bring an Hashem Taloi on each one of them. But not that a yediyat safek would separate for chataot. It's only sufficient by a shamot, tluyot, which are brought al safek. So the parallel is between chatat, where yediyat vadait creates a separation for chataot vadayot. So too, by a sham taloi, a safek korban safek. So therefore, the yediyot safek provide a separation. But not that yediyat safek separates for chataot. Where it says, Bishlam, other Rabbi Yochanan, hainu, the katali la sham bechatat. Then according to Rabbi Yochanan, it makes sense why Rabbi says that the Hashem is like the Chatat. Just like the Chatat, Vadai Yidiyah separates, so too by the Hashem, Safek Yidiyah separates. El Reish Lakish, Chatat by Hashem Iboyule. According to Reish Lakish's view, or according to Rabbi Zera's view, should have been just the opposite. The fact that Yidiyah Safek separates for Hashemot means that Yidiyot Safek also separate for Chatot. That means that we're learning from Hashem to Chatot, not the other way around. It's not the Chatat that's telling us about the Hashem. Hashem is telling us about the Chatat. Numa says, Kasho, that's a problem for that position of Reish Lakish, or that position of Rabbi Zera. Because you should have said that we learn Chatat from Hashem. Now, it's true that we learn Hashem from Chatat. Everywhere where you have a separate Chatat, you have a separate Hashem. But we learned that by Yidiyat Safek is a sufficient Yidiyah, according to Rabbi, for Hashem. And from that, we extrapolated back to Chatat to say that type of Yidiyah will also create separation for Chatot as well. But that's learned from the Hashem. If that's the case, it should have said Chatat from Hashem, not Hashem from Chatat. And that we leave as Kasha as a difficulty with that position. So we're going to stop here, three lines from the bottom of Yudchet Amud Bet.